If you haven't had a chance, check out the Jazz Pod Co-op on Twitter. It's a group of podcasts with like-minded people that just want to share their opinions on the Jazz. Here's a preview. Mark and Doug Hintze on the twos and threes.
The weird things about dude shots is like my favorite like NBA subcategory of
That definitely gets Mark going for sure.
And like, or they're like the length of their arms affecting something. I'm like, whether they jump off of 1 foot or 2 foot.
Right.
Like,
Emily and McCoy on the Jazzy Gals.
If anything, that video also reminded me like how just a few inches difference it was between us being on one side versus the other. You know, like, well, we all know a few inches can make a difference.
Who, Logan and Jared on hitting the high notes?
I don't even care if they're hurt.
I mean,
or they're,
we're
or
not
going to
dance on any injuries, but yes.
No, I buy it. I can't make any promises. I don't even care if it's a fluke or we cheat. I don't even care.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
That's what they say.
And Brian and McCade on Home Court Press.
With Boyan, Memphis is really struggling to shoot. So giving Boyan to the Grizzlies and then having the Grizzlies forward our first-round pick onto another team, if you can get Boyan a first-round pick and then get Memphis to throw in a first-round pick in DA and take Boyan, a lot of possibilities open for a guy like John Collins.
What's up, folks? It's another edition. It's Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. You can follow me on the Twitterverse. It is Who Trust You Man? That's at Who Trust You Man? That's HUUTRAN Superman. On the Twitterverse and the Gramverse. We are here. We are recording a pre-playoff edition of Hitting the High Notes. We're using a brand new podcast recorder I got, so I'm hoping this is not a lost episode. I'm hoping that we're not just some talking for the sake of talking, and I hope this actually gets to air someday. We're bringing on, of course, Mr. Go the Distance 49. What's up, Jay Barker?
Not much, man. Did you catch that Lakers game last night?
You know what? Me and 5.69 million other people did. So, or 5.69999 other million people did. Yeah, it was I was working it. So, that's the nice part about working in sports is that sometimes that you cover a game like the Warriors and Lakers, and like, all right, cool. Well, that's our story, and that was nice. That game has implications for the Jazz in more ways than one, and we'll get to that. Bringing on the Squatches of Dragons, Mr. Logan Cox. Hey, Logan, what's up, man?
Yeah, I hear three of you guys, so I'm just trying to, listen to the one in the middle.
Oh, God. Like, LeBron, Logan and I mean, I'm a fan of LeBron, and but man, like sometimes like just stuff like that, I'm like, geez, LeBron, like come on now, like that's pretty bush league.
He makes it hard sometimes, but yeah. Yes, I still love him.
Yeah, like I don't know if I love him, but I don't hate him like some people do. But I was like, really? I'm like, all right, cool, yeah, you're blind, I get it.
More like a dislike type. I enjoy watching him play because he's great, but the off court stuff, I could definitely do with less of that.
Yeah, we need less children's schools and social activism.
No, I mean like the stuff like trying to copyright Taco Tuesday and that nonsense.
Oh yeah,
he did bring Blaze pizza, so that's a reason to be pissed off. I'm with you
now. That's true. That is, Blaze is not very good.
All right, and we have a guest on today. He's Twitter famous, at least. I know of him. He is a golfer extraordinaire, I think. Please welcome Andrew. Andrew, what's your social handle here?
Yeah, so it's at AMcCullough105. I'm definitely not that good at golf, but I can throw one hell of a golf tournament.
You can throw one hell of a golf tournament. And we'll get to this Utah, because we really want to start the Jazz Pod Social Open for next fall. So we're trying to steal him away for that.
Sir.
So while we get the co-op pod golf tournament going, let's talk a little Jazz about, we haven't had a game. Us Jazz fans have not had a game since last Sunday when the Jazz defeated the Kings for the number one seed. In a game that, according to Jazz Twitter, the Jazz only had like a 2% chance of winning. So somehow the Jazz pulled it off.
How is it always like a 2-5% chance of winning on Twitter?
If I didn't look at anything else, that's what I would have guessed. But the Jazz, the number one seed, the best record in the NBA, the first time in franchise history being the sole possession of the first seed. So good for the Jazz. And the Jazz are going to be waiting for the winner of Memphis and Golden State. But before I get to that, I want to talk about the hotly contested, the race that we've all been talking about all year long, sixth man of the year, my boy Joe Ingles versus Jared's boy, Jordan Clarkson, and a hotly contested sixth man of the year race. That was kind of the big talk a couple days ago. And it's funny because, you know, there's a line being drawn in the sand here, and people are going on one side or the other, and we're getting down to one of the Jazz men are going to win this, but half the Jazz fans are going to be mad about the other Jazz man not winning this award. Logan, what have you seen with that on Twitter?
I think we got a dark horse, our third Jazz man, former Jazz man, Derrick Rose.
Yes.
Derrick Rose making he and Tibbs are going to sneak in and take all those Jazz awards right from underneath your feet. I thought for sure, like, again, foolish of me that I thought that the Twitterverse would calm down a bit after we got the one seed and we had a week off to just kind of decompress to watch it. But we definitely found something else to fight about. I think that the arguments on both sides are compelling. I mean, if I were pushed and forced to choose one, I would probably just go Jordan Clarkson because it seems like the typical normal run-of-the-mill thing, so why do it any differently?
It is funny that because at the beginning of the year, Jordan Clarkson, like after like 15 or 20 games, people were like, all right, run away, there it is, it's over. And you know, the funny thing
about
that
your man Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chris Boucher at the time I thought was a pretty good contender. Like, it just was to me.
I know, he had a little bit of fall off though, right?
Right. Kind of, yeah. Like, but the argument at game 20 was like, hey, it's not over, and a lot of things, and obviously things happened, and you know, there were always other contenders. You know, to say that there wasn't was a little crazy, I thought. Logan kind of mentioned that with Derrick Rose being the third finalist in there, could be a senior cotillion thing where all the popular girls take the votes away from each other, and all of a sudden, somebody else wins the award. So, I don't think that's going to happen. It looks like it's going to be one of the Jazz men for sure. Andrew, where do you fall on this JC versus Joe fiery fight?
Yeah. So let me just go on the record right here, right now, and just say, if you look at the statistics and you look at the actual impact on the game, this is Joe Ingles' award.
However, dare you?
However, give me a second. Jordan Clarkson has the it factor. The guy has so much swag. He is literally what the Jazz have never had. You throw that dude the ball, he is going to get you a bucket, and he will keep you in games you have no business of being in. Joe Ingles is going to do a lot of little things right for you. He's going to help you win a lot of games. But Jordan, JC, as I like to call him, he is going to go out there and walk on water and literally keep you in games that the Jazz should have otherwise got blown out. And the dude is literally the coolest Jazz man to ever play for the Jazz. Literally. In 2 years, the dude has surpassed Stockton and Malone in terms of swag. So I gotta say, look, stats tell me it's Joe Ingles, but the heart, I'm sticking with Joe, with Jordan.
Logan and Andrew did not do that correctly, so Jared, I'm counting on you now. Why does Joe Ingles suck, and why is Jordan Clarkson so much better than him? That's how you do it. That's how you argue award winners, is by trashing all the other candidates and telling the story about why your guy is better.
Well, JC superstar and Joe Ingles drinks coffee. There you go.
Okay, good, done.
Argument one.
I am a little sad. Like, I don't think I've ever watched the NBA award show. But this year I'll be like, oh, knowing that Joe Ingles could win an award, I just want to see him like accept the award, like throw it away, or just like, hey, Jordan, get come up here. You can have it. I don't want it.
Oh, dude, him being forced to make a speech would be, like, awesome. That would be just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't mind giving speeches.
Exactly. That would be awesome. That's why it would be so awesome. Like, which is why I don't care who wins, because either way, we win.
Well, we don't get one of those this year, so it's a little sad. But you know, we'll see. I don't do my own research. I just see what Twitter puts out there, and from what I saw, it looks like it's going to be a close race, and Joe had an early lead. So, but we all know through elections that votes don't matter, and that polling doesn't matter, and you know, at the end of this, some lizard man will be the president or something like that. Who knows? So.
JC 2024. two things real quick. I mean, first of all, John Crotty would like a word, Andrew, with the most swaggiest jazz player of all time. And the second being that if you vote, never mind, I'm not going to touch it. Never mind, I'll leave it alone. I'll stop there.
I
don't think.
I feel like this is Pandora's box now. Like,
make the six man great again.
You gotta open that box.
Make bench scoring good again. Great again.
A vote for Joe is a vote for racism. That's all I'm going to say. The white man always holding them back. Holding everybody back, yeah.
Oh, man, that's really funny.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And this is Doug. What's up?
And we're co-hosts of a weekly podcast on the Utah Jazz called Twos and Threes. It's available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you get podcasts on your feed every Monday morning.
Mark's my big brother, and you could say this podcast is a family affair, but really, we think of the Jazz and Jazz Nation as our family. So we'd love for you to participate with us, to listen, and really, let's do this together. Go Jazz.
Go Jazz. Be our family. Boom.
The Jazz tweet out a really cool video of Jazz players giving kids scholarships, and I wanted to make the joke, you know, I was here at work and I talked to my anchor, like, hey, you know, and I made the joke to my anchor, and then I was like, I should do it online, but then people did it for real, and I was like, okay, well, we can't have nice things, so.
You know what's an underrated thing, though, is that Joe's got the Joe Mentum. We've seen what Joe Mentum can do.
Joe Mentum. So, guys, we talked about it earlier, the Jazz got the first seed. Awesome. You know, something that was really big. A couple weeks ago, Jared had said something like, he thought that if the Jazz, I think maybe even Logan said it, that if the Jazz lost first place, they'd never get back. And then again, somehow they did.
But you guys both said that they were going to be the one seed, and I said the two. So I got to give you your flowers. You were right.
I mean, again, it just was something that it was like the obvious thing. Like I went with the lead horse, I guess. So, but again, I also didn't think it mattered. None of us ever brought up that. Oh, what if the Clippers decide to tank and go to four? And when I say tank. Man, do they tank go to the four seed. So all those dream scenarios of the one seed is kind of gone. But before we get to that, we have to talk about who the Jazz are going to play in the first round. I asked this on Twitter because – and I should have asked it after the Kings game because I want to get everybody's like reactions like when they got first place. Andrew, when the Jazz got first place after that Kings game, tell me how it felt.
Felt like Christmas morning. All the anticipation building all season long, and just finally to get it wrapped up and get business taken care of felt really good. Really, really pleased that the Jazz were able to do something they hadn't done in franchise history, which is have the outright best record in the NBA. Pretty impressive when you consider that we've apparently, according to Jazz Twitter, have only had a 2-5% chance of winning any one game. So, really stoked for my boys.
Yeah, I mean,
Andrew, would you have been bummed if they would have dropped to two? What would your how would that felt if they would have slipped to two?
Yeah. So if you ain't first, you're last, and so you gotta get that one seat. No. So I think being serious, I think the importance of a potential game seven being played in what I call the Delta Center still, because that's just what it'll always be to me, in front of the most raucous and, according to NBA Twitter, racist fans in the NBA, is a huge advantage. And being able to make sure that we have that in our back pocket, I think that's really big. And so I think it's huge. I would have been a little bit bummed because I have a little saying I like. It's nothing succeeds like success. And the Jazz keeping it in the one seed, letting the NBA know, hey, we're serious. We've been on top all season long, and we ain't going anywhere. I think that's, you know, those mind games that LeBron tried to play with the All-Star pick. Yeah, I mean, he's playing games while the Jazz are flying back on a, you know, private jet, holding up that that one finger for locking up the one seed. So put right. that your pipe and smoke it, LeBron.
LeJared.
Did you just call him LeJared?
Yeah, LeJared.
like the Gary from what is that stupid show called?
Full House.
Final Space. No, Final Space. It's a stupid little cartoon show that I watched a few times.
TBS. So Gerard here. What kind of feelings did you experience when the Jazz locked up that one seed?
I mean, they proved me right for that game, because I was like, everybody's worried about the Kings. I mean, these are the freaking Sacramento Kings.
Without half their roster.
Do what?
Without half their roster, the Kings. Like, they're missing like four guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was not a good Sacramento Kings squad, and
right.
and they were playing.
So you felt good. I mean, yeah. They proved you right, but like, how did you feel?
I mean, jazzed. Shout out to Matt Sanchez. need him to return with this podcast.
Did you feel anything special with the one seed, Logan? I know this is something that you really wanted. You were gonna be bummed if the Jazz fell, but did you feel like any celebration there?
Yeah, no. Almost everything Andrew said is mine. You know, very similarly. I think that I do obviously this. You know, the strategic advantage of ever having any sort of game seven in your home arena is a huge advantage. But I do think there's a huge psychological piece to that. And about finishing it off, you know, like I'm 100% of that belief that like you needed to do this and you needed to make it happen. So I was happy to see him finish it off. It's about compartmentalizing though. I mean, it's awesome. It feels great, but I'm definitely not one of those people who's just going to say, hey, it was a great season and be just satisfied with that. But I think it's a step in the right direction. It's the little things that I think you have to do like that are going to hopefully lead to even greater things. So yeah, the regular season was great. I enjoyed it, and now it's, you know, on to the next thing. But it was one of those things that showed me the same we've been going back to all year, that they aren't the same old Jazz. So yeah, it mattered to me.
So here's my feelings on it, because let's go back to Milwaukee and Utah last season. Bojan hits that game winner, and of course, like when you're at the stadium, you are super excited, right? And everything's going well. And this is where I found out that my soul died, because, like, maybe 5 or 10 minutes after the game, like I had already come down from the high, like, you know, and we had gone out and people were like chanting bogey, bogey, and I think I probably chanted along, but I was like, oh, this is kind of weird that we're chanting, you know, 10 minutes after the game and he's not even there, like he wasn't even doing a post, like we were just out in the foyer, and I was like, oh. I realized that night that, like, oh, people are like, we're riding the high for hours after the game, and my high ended, you know, after 10 minutes. And so, like, the Jazz got the first seed, and I was like, oh, that's nice. And I felt like really nothing. And I was like, oh boy, like, is there something wrong with me, or are the children wrong? And,
I mean, that's that question has layers. I mean, you've asked your therapist that, right?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, like I didn't get as much joy, and I saw people like, and so I was trying to get people to like tell me how it felt, because I really was wondering, like I was like, oh boy, like is there a certain euphoria that people were in? You know, and obviously, I should have just called Travis Cox and asked him, because he probably would have explained it to me pretty well. But the other thing is that,
that guy would have a great answer.
On Twitter today, people kind of commented, and there were a few people who are kind of in the mindset of like, it's cool, but, you know, playoffs. And part of me is like, I was like, oh boy, that kind of sucks that the Jazz did really well this season. And if they lose in the first, second, or conference finals, that a lot of people are going to be like, oh, this year kind of sucked. I was like, this year didn't really suck. This year was actually really good for the Jazz. And I know the playoffs are, you know, probably the most important thing, and I've said it all along, but it does seem kind of, I don't know, sucky that the Jazz's accomplishment in the regular season is going to go down as like, who cares, unless you can prove something else. And it reminds me of like the Hawks teams, the Raptors teams that met LeBron in the playoffs, and after having like wonderful seasons, are just forgotten in history because, you know, they lost in the playoffs to LeBron. It happens, so. But that also, like, brings me to the PTSD that Jazz fans feel, because we've been doing these fear rankings for about a month now. And we had this great playing game between the Lakers and the Warriors a night ago, or two nights ago now. And people were debating whether the Jazz should face the Lakers or the Warriors. And part of me is like, guys, you get the one seed for a reason. And, you know, if you're afraid that the eight seed is going to beat you, boy, like, what does it matter, right? Because if you got the one seed and you're still just, you know, just scared of being beat in the first round, like, boy, that's pretty bad PTSD. Am I wrong there, Logan?
I think it's a bit of a special circumstance. I mean, these aren't your normal, typical run-of-the-mill 7-8 seed teams. I mean, even if you flop some of those other teams from higher Dallas, if it was Dallas and Portland down, I think you'd feel differently because of the caliber of dudes who are in it. But at the same time, it's just you also you're exactly right. You can't be afraid of that part of it all. You can't be. Yeah, I don't know. It's a fine line. I think right. Jared. I think I saw Jared creeping on someone's conversation the other day, saying something about that. We walked this weird line of like. Of being disrespectful or being terrified, and the truth is somewhere in the middle, honestly.
Oh, that was probably me and Mark, right?
Yeah.
Me and Mark talking about the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is somewhere in the middle. Like, there's always the potential to do it, but I don't think Steph and the rest of them can carry them for a 7-game series.
Sorry, I don't want to hold you to your preseason prediction or anything, because like that was so long ago and they don't matter. But your exact words were, you think the Golden State Warriors in a 1-game series is probably the scariest team in the NBA, but in a 7-game series, we're not going to beat anybody in the top four. And at the time, we probably thought that was like the Jazz, the Lakers, Clippers, and maybe the Blazers or something.
I actually left the Blazers out of the playoffs in my stellar preseason prediction.
Maybe the Mavericks. But, I don't know who it was.
That's,
yeah.
That's just because I hate them. I just hate Portland so much, and we should all hate Portland more.
So I'm not holding you to that. Helpful. But like, that stuck with me the whole year. I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I haven't been scared. I know the Jazz went 1-2 against the Warriors, but I don't think it matters. Like, I just don't see it. Like, they don't have Wiseman. It's Steph and a bunch of, you know, it's Draymond, it's Andrew Wiggins, but that team doesn't scare me. And again, knock on wood or whatever, you know, knock, because, I don't want to jinx the Jazz here, but like, I just don't know. I'm not scared. Andrew, am I crazy for not, you know, being terrified of the Warriors?
I don't think you should be terrified. I mean, sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you know what, Steph Curry is maybe one of the most, as far as gravitational pull on the floor, maybe one of the most dynamic players we've ever seen play the game. And dude is just a straight assassin. Now, that being said, this Warriors team is not the Warriors team that Kevin Durant snaked out of OKC to join. This is not a Warriors team that can hang with the Jazz. Frankly, if the Warriors pick up more than one game on this Jazz squad, I'd be pretty surprised. Draymond Green doesn't have on Rudy Gobert. He thinks he's a DPOY. Reality is, when we talk about generational players and gravitational players like Steph Curry, Rudy Gobert is that on defense. He is literally having one of the greatest defensive performances of all time in an era where the league is entirely designed to make defense as hard as possible to play. So all of you Rudy Gobert haters, at Cronair, you know who you are. You're wrong. He was worth every penny of that contract. And frankly, he's still probably the most underpaid athlete in the NBA right now. And Draymond Green can't hang. So Jazz, in probably a gentleman's sweep, but you know, watch for the real sweep. So no, the Warriors don't scare me, but props to Steph Curry because the dude's insane, but he just doesn't have the cast.
I know, I do feel bad about saying this about the Warriors because, like, as long as said, you know, Jared talked about disrespect versus that. It's not disrespect. I'm confident the Jazz should be able to beat whoever the 8 seed is. You know, all four of those teams. I'm like, there's a reason why the Warriors are in the play-in game. You know, it's not like they didn't have a major injury to Steph or something. You know, the Lakers have a little bit better case to be more scared of because, a healthy-ish LeBron and AD. You know, that's something you should be scared of. But, Jared, Lakers or Warriors? I mean, what team were you more scared of?
That seems like a loaded question. Probably the Lakers, but I will admit, you guys are shitting all over Draymond Green for whatever reason, acting like he hasn't been one of the top three defenders this year, as evidenced by the awards balloting.
So, Rachel, where did Rachel Nichols have him?
I don't know. Let's ask McCade.
Jared, you know I was coming around on Draymond. The way you held that sandwich in the Subway commercial, and I jumped completely off. I was like Team Draymond.
Well, but you saw what he did to Anthony Davis, who we're all calling A Disney now, apparently, right?
That's fine. I'm not that scared of Draymond changing a series for the Jazz. He's not gonna be able to guard all five guys.
Cool. Oh, I know, but they're a good team defense team, as evidenced by that game yesterday.
Yes, they're good. I think the Jazz are better offensively.
Yeah, which I could definitely see your point. I'm just saying, like, people are acting like the Warriors are just going to be this easy out and five games or less. Blah blah blah. are you kidding? This is what I've been dealing with from people online ever since the Jazz secured the one seed.
Okay,
and the Lakers lost. Everybody's only.
So you think
Andrew right now is giving it to you straight?
Okay, so Jared, I'm a Warriors Jazz. Let's assume Warriors Jazz. You think it goes 6 or 7 games, or you think the Warriors win?
No, I think the Jazz win. I'm gonna say Jazz in six.
Six.
I mean, everybody's saying if it goes more than five, that the Jazz are frauds. Like, I've seen people make these arguments. I'm just like,
no, and that's fine.
Okay.
I can see the five. I mean, again, statistically, I think that
Golden State. I was thinking about this today. I think that Golden State is like the ideal matchup for the Jazz right now because I think there's enough of what Jared's saying, which is there's enough of the holdover prestige and the experience that when they go, because I do think they match up well with them. I do think that they. Again, I'm going to try to pretend to talk about defense, so this could go very very wrong. They I think Jared's right. I think they do play good team defense, but they don't strike me as an overly physical team outside of Draymond. And I think the teams that have caused the Jazz a little bit more heartache has been the teams that got real physical and gotten in their business. And so I think if you go into Golden State, and I still fully expect them to win the series, I think it's a pretty good first round matchup. It gets a little bit more of that confidence, a little bit more of that mojo going outside of beating one of the no name teams, you know. I mean, it would be nice to have an easier route. So I'm going to go optimistic here and say it's the best of both worlds, that we're still good enough to beat them. We still match up the right ways, but there's still enough of that there's going to still be enough people pulling for the Warriors. You're going to have to deal with Steph in a close game, which is going to be some of that, you know, big time playoff experience that could come in handy down the road. So,
yeah.
I think there's a silver lining there. So when Dylan Brooks goes out tomorrow and beats him, everything I said won't matter at all. So,
yes, the perfect. I Logan is of one mind with me sometimes because I was about to transition right to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Hi, I'm McCoy.
Hi, I'm Emily.
And we're the Jazzy Gals. If you're looking for in-depth Utah Jazz basketball analysis, this ain't it.
But if you are looking to discuss how great Rudy's beard looked this week, Jazz Twitter crushes, or other fun pop culture things, you have come to the right place.
That's right, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
And also on Twitter at Jazzy Gals Pod. Go Jazz!
Go Jazz!
Yeah, I will say this. I'm not as scared of Ja Morant, and I am more scared of Steph and Draymond.
Okay. Cool. I'm just not sure what that statement
I think the Jazz could sweep the Grizzlies.
Okay. I mean, just it's funny, like I was like, oh, you're less scared of Ja Morant? That's a statement that could have been said without any words at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so like I'm like, oh yeah.
I guess that's probably true.
Right? Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. It's like a story. Oh, you know what? It's like a Captain Obvious statement. I'm like, yeah, uh-huh, I agree. But yeah, so the Grizzlies, they're being written off by a lot of people. A lot of Jazz fans out there I see are cheering hard for the Grizzlies. I think the Jazz swept the Grizzlies in a very weird series. The Jazz played them within a week of each other, so like. I want to say three games in either 7 or 8 days, or even 6 days. I'm like, oh, okay.
Was it all three games, or was it just two games, and then the third one was like
three of their four were against Memphis.
Yeah, it was 8 days.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so it was like that baseball. Okay. So this is where like the baseball series kind of hurts the Jazz in a way, because like yeah, they were really good for that week. The Jazz were. But again, situations changed after that. The Grizzlies, I don't know if they got better or worse, or they were the same team from that week. But like, part of me thinks, oh, you know, this is kind of what like the Phoenix series, right? The three times the Jazz played the Phoenix, played the Phoenix Suns were three different Jazz teams almost. So you know, they played them once in the first four games, then the 3 games later that Jazz team was completely different, and then the Jazz team played them. Without two of their guys later. So, yeah, it's just one of those weird baseball series snafus, I guess. One of the weirdest ones to have the Grizzlies in a week span. But, none of us...
I honestly don't think that hurts the Jazz, personally.
It's one of the things that, like, it's hard to, like, give, like, real great analysis, I guess, for my part. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, all right, it's kind of like we beat the team that wasn't ready for the Jazz. Like the Jazz were really hot when they played the Grizzlies. So, it sounds like anybody disagree with them, Jared, that the Jazz are probably going to win in a sweep against Memphis, or a gentleman sweep at that. Yeah, I didn't think so. Like, are we disrespecting the Grizzlies, Logan?
Yeah. No.
No.
They haven't. They're adequately rated.
Yeah.
A nice 72, a nice low C.
why is that, Andrew? Why are we not scared of why are we as fans not scared of the Memphis Grizzlies?
Because they're not. Yeah, they can't hang with the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz. That's the thing is, I think a lot of us are
postseason success.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are kind of like overlooking the fact of. We're kind of thinking of some of the Jazz's struggles, especially as of late, where you know we've been without two all-stars. I would like everybody to take a breather, think back to like mid-January through February, when the Jazz were making NBA teams look like St. Mary's Schools of the Deaf, Dumb, and Blind. We were just taking teams out behind the woodshed, and that's not gone. In fact, you know these guys. Like I remember Conley. I can't remember what game it was, but he has a shirt that said something like "relax," or I can't remember exactly what it was. One of you guys will probably remember, but it was just like like take a deep breath or something like that. I can't remember what his shirt said, but like these
the
guys,
the sky is
know,
falling or something.
The sky is falling.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there you go.
It was in, but these, in Phoenix, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, the Mike Conley shirt? Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, these guys know what they're capable of. They remember how dominant they were, and they're ready. I don't know that we've ever seen a team gel like this. I don't know that I've ever seen a Jazz team gel like this ever. Yeah. And that goes back to the 90s where you had Stockton Malone that, you know, were like peanut butter and jelly and just worked so well together. But this is like 15 guys deep and they're ready. This is the Jazz year. So just like, I'm not worried about Memphis Grizzlies, Golden State Warriors. Doesn't matter to me. Steph's going to be great if he's doing it. If it's the Grizzlies, yeah, we're going to stomp them.
Right. It's no disrespect to the zero Memphis Grizzly fans that are listening to us, but yeah, I mean, it comes down to, you know, they're a young team, right? That I think the NBA will think.
Shout out Burner Jaw. We need you to listen to this now.
The NBA will just be like, oh, the Grizzlies should be happy they made the playoffs. You know, like it's a step, right? It's a step in the right direction. They're young, you know. And the other thing is that, I don't complain about officiating, but in a series against the Lakers and Curry, you've got to worry about calls not going your way sometimes, as opposed to John Morant and the Grizzlies. So you're probably not going to get the same calls that, you know, he's not going to get the same calls that Steph Curry is going to get. So, yeah, that's, you know, we got Jazz. So let's assume it's Warriors, Jared. You said Jazz is six, but like, give me like a confidence level here. Like, how confident are you in your Jazz six prediction?
Well, in five or six, I'd say probably about 80% confident.
No, you gotta pick one.
Okay, in six, I'd say probably about 70% confident because we might be able to finish it off sooner. It depends on how Mitchell looks, man. I mean, he hasn't touched the court for a month, so.
Right.
Or over a month.
I mean, they talked today. He hopes to be ready. So let's hope. I mean, he did mention that his ankle injury was more severe than what was originally reported. But I don't really know what that means. So, Logan, Logan, are you thinking 6-2 or?
Jazz in seven. This time Mike Conley's three goes in and everyone can actually claim a real win this time.
Jazz
not a simulated win that gets into the Western Conference.
I do love the prediction of seven because seven takes balls. Like seven's like, yeah.
Well, the Jazz, Celtics title run? They went like seven games every series.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, why the hell not, man?
Yeah, that two Jazz Sunday home games is a little crazy to think about. It makes it harder for my job, but you know, it is what it is. Andrew, what were we thinking? Jazz Warriors.
Yeah, I'll be honest, guys. I'm a little shocked. We're thinking six or seven here. I just don't see.
You said five, right?
I don't see the Warriors pushing us past five. If it is, we're talking some late game heroics from Steph Curry, maybe just like a 50-point game, or you know, some just crazy shots going down. This Jazz team's this Jazz team is so deep. I mean, George's Niang is coming in, dropping like 7 out of 7 3-point shots. Like that's our 10th guy. That's our 9th, 10th guy. This Jazz team's rolling.
Yep,
I don't trust Georgie Porgy in the postseason. I saw him last year.
Stop, Jared, with the George hate.
Yeah, that's it's different. Like,
the words I thought would never come out of my mouth.
Right,
it's
just
the words I never thought I would utter.
Right, like,
why are you pro George now?
This is,
dude, I don't know. There's something about him. Like, I was walking through I was with a DJ and we were walking through a grown up arcade, Dave and Buster style. I looked over and watched George Niang hit a couple threes. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I'm like becoming a George Niang fan. It was really confusing, and it wasn't even like I'm not even indifferent anymore. I think I like this guy. I mean, he
wow,
was able to fill his role. I don't know. It's all right. It's okay.
I mean, it's like, all right, cool. We're bringing up last year's postseason, which is a whole different circumstance. You know, the equations aren't even the same for what George had to do last year versus this year. So, we'll see. Maybe, I don't know. Those favors lineups are looking kind of rough. So, I don't know. We'll probably have to touch on that at some point.
I want to tell on myself for a quick second here. So, I said when Joe Ingles came into the league, I was like, this guy is a borderline. I was like, he should not be in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Ingles. He should be in the NBA. I said the same thing about Georges Niang like 2 years ago. I was like, how is this guy even in the NBA? Both of them have literally made me eat my own words. They are both – like Joe Ingles is legit. If he's not the sixth man, it's because, JC beats him out. And, Georges, minivan, like, come on. This dude is now a solid rotational NBA player. And when it comes to playoffs, dude, if you have 9 or 10 guys, that's deadly, because we don't need all of them to show up one night. We just need somebody to show up. And if we shoot our averages, this team's gonna be hard to beat. And so I was wrong about Georges. I apologize. I know he's a big fan of the pod. So
I hope he is.
I apologize.
He's such a big fan. He promised to come on, and then
he said he would, and then we just never were able to reconnect with him.
Well, I mean, with the amount of hate you guys are spewing on him, I don't blame him. He probably blocked.
No, that started after he spurned us, and it will continue because he spurned us.
That is not correct.
Georges, we hate you, bro. Come on, the pod, and then we'll
get together. No, Jared. Well, I mean,
Jared never forgives, and he never forgets.
Yeah, last year was way different than the George. Just the equations are different. You know, George does not have to be what he was last year. So.
I know that. I'll just believe it when I see it with him.
Sure. Okay.
I'm not going to trust regular season George to be postseason George. Yeah,
this is again coming from Jared, who always talks about how Rudy gets played off in the playoffs. So
I don't say that. You're full of
false.
Would you like me to get I can get the audio if you like, Jared.
I said what? I said he gets played off the floor.
Yes.
Is that what you said that I said?
Yes.
I wasn't on the podcast then, so I didn't listen.
It's on the podcast. Name your terms, sir. How much money we got on this here?
Did you say name your trim? What is that?
Terms.
I have no idea.
I thought I said trim.
Yeah. name your trim.
That means something completely different.
Yeah, I'll take whatever trim.
Name my terms. Yeah, my terms for what?
Like
you said you listened to the audio.
$50, $100. How much you got here? I'm pretty confident in this.
Oh, jeez.
$1,000.
Why do you think I'm going to bet you money for something that is that you can verify via electronic recording? That is not how this works.
You just said you didn't say it, and I said you did.
So maybe you're right. If you're willing to go find it, that's on you. I don't care enough to bet you money.
All right. Well, then never mind then.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, we have Andrew here. And Andrew, you are pretty famous in the Twitter world, like I said. So tell me first. Like, there's this Utah Social Open, right?
Yes, sir.
And it started, and this is, some people love it. Some people hate it. But most people seem to like it.
I want names on the second half of that one.
I can go to Tanner's I can go to Tanner's timeline, but
he finds them.
They come to Tanner's timeline to talk about it. Like I made the joke because Tanner had talked about is he part of a clique, and I was like, yeah, man, it's called the Utah Social Open. But this thing really grew in a matter of less than a year. So kind of give me the origins of how this started.
Yeah, so I think somebody, I want to say it was Sean, Ink Tater, Sean, my boy Sean, just said, hey, anybody want to, we should get together and play a round of golf. Me being the overachiever that I am, I'm like, all right, okay, it's out there. We're going to do it. We're going to get it set up. We're going to do it right. So we got some tee times and I just, kind of asked some people. I was like, hey, who wants to go? We started getting quite a few people, and I just kept making Connor go back to the golf course and say, grab us another tee time. Finally, he said, hey, we're not getting any more tee time, so we got to cap it. So we capped it at 36. I got, some little, last place ribbons. I think Bryant, the guy that actually just got suspended from Twitter for good today, He was last place. His little ribbon said, at least you tried. And then I got some trophies, a bunch of donuts, some Gatorade. We just went out. It was a blast. Now, granted, it was the middle of the pandemic, and 2020 sucked ass, but it was the highlight of most people's years. And so we're like, hey, you know what? We can, at least I thought, hey, we can grow this thing because we already knew the demand was there. We know that partially due to the pandemic, I think partially due to the way our society is set up with so much, interactions happening online, that we really crave that human interaction. And I was just like, hey, there's a good little niche here where we can get in and we can like actually build some community. So that's the origin of it. The thing kind of took on a life of its own a little bit. If you guys even knew half of the DMs that have been sent back and forth, you wouldn't believe me. But we're working on some really, really big things.
Hey.
It's only going up from here.
You need to release those DMs.
Yeah. So I keep a pretty tight lid on the DMs, because I don't want people to, if it doesn't pan out, I don't want people to
gotcha.
To lose confidence.
Slide into his DMs to get things going. So it grew. How many participants did you have in the spring 2021 social open, I will call it?
Yes. So we had 216. I want to say the day before we probably had, I bet our waiting list was like 40 or 50. So we just kind of had to cap it. We got the full 36 holes at Soldier Hollow. We had six sums. That was 216 golfers. I think we had about, 12, 13 volunteers come out. The volunteers were awesome. And so we had, and then plus kind of some of the radio guys there, we had about the jazz team store was there. We had about 250 people all in, up there. And it was just, it was a blast. It was a ton of work. I did lose money on it. I'm not going to say how much because my wife might listen to the podcast.
Oh,
but it was a blast. I had so much fun, and it was awesome to see, in my opinion, it was awesome to see people, that have interacted, and some of them in a negative manner, kind of get together, and literally you kind of got to see, look, there's a person behind this account, and I said this in an interview with Michelle, I said, it's a whole lot harder to be an asshole to somebody on Tuesday if you know you're seeing them on Friday. So we're just about building community. It is an open. That means everybody's invited. So no clicks. You just, honestly, if you want to participate, even if you don't want to play golf, if you want to be kind of a volunteer or just come out, shoot with us. We're going to, I think September 10th is the date for the fall. And we're actually going to add in a social element the night before or the day before to have everybody out. So if you don't want to play golf, you just want to come out, hang out, watch for more details on that. But that's going to be, it's rivalry week. So September 9th will be the tailgate. September 10th is going to be the golf tournament. September 11th is going to be the day Utah beats BYU for the town street.
Well, Logan, do you golf?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that's a shame.
You drink beer?
I drink lots of beer.
So come on out.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. No, what, like I said, I did see it come up last year. It was like, oh, that's kind of a cool thing. And honestly, for the building up to it, I saw most of it on Tanner stuff. So you take that with a grain of salt. But really, I mean, it really obviously gained a ton of momentum as you guys started, securing some larger participants. But then really just even I think what was cool was just to watch just what it did take on. Yeah, there was a couple little naysayers, but overall, the overall feel and vibe, it was just positivity from what people had. And I think like then that you touched on some great points there, Andrew. People are kind of craving that more than ever. And this is the timing on it was ideal to get folks together. And really, Twitter can be such a weird and sometimes nasty place, but other times it can bring some. I've got a pretty great story as to what Twitter brought to my life. So there's plenty of good stuff that goes on there. So I think what you guys do is really cool, and the inclusion of people. When I saw that kind of hit, and I just, I think we were talking about who we want to try to bring on this week. And I know we're probably a week late with it, but it's just really quite cool to see what you guys got going on, and where I'm, excited to see, what you guys have going forward with it, and just what you guys look to accomplish with it. So, I mean, is there more to it than this is just me looking from the outside. So it's the golf tournament. You guys get together, enjoy each other, spend some time. Is there anything else you guys are trying to accomplish with this? Or is it just more just a gathering of people and spreading positivity?
Yeah. So what it started out was, hey, we want to get together and play some golf. The golf was fun, but the community was awesome. And so, like I said earlier, the idea is golf is just the activity. It's just the vehicle. The community building is actually what, at least what I'm after. And since I'm the boss, that's where we're going. I like to say, hey, this is not a golf event where we socialize. This is a social event where we play some golf. And so the idea is to build the community. We are going to be adding in a charitable element this fall. And so watch for that. We have a charity on tap. And if everything lines up, let's just say, nothing but net. This would be nothing but net. So
stay tuned
for that one.
But, breaking news, yeah. Utah Social Open, donating scholarships to underprivileged kids. Underrepresented kids, excuse me. Milt Palacio.
Yeah.
Jared, are you a golfer or a beer drinker?
Am I a golfer or
a beer drinker?
Neither.
Neither.
But, yeah. I will play golf.
You will play golf. There was a lot of jokes like, because golf is one of those things that, like, you either do it a lot or you kind of do it, like very, very limited amount of times.
Yeah, I don't have
times.
Any clubs, so that's the only reason, only thing that's really keeping me back.
Right, yeah, and I have clubs, and I go out. I try to go out a couple times a year. I do like golfing. I don't like keeping score, but I like hitting the ball. I think Anne to the Max was, she won't listen to this, so it doesn't matter. But she said something about, backyard games, social open, like horseshoes and cornhole. We talked about, Logan, we got to get on it. We need to make a
field
jazz.
She specifically said field.
Oh yeah. A jazz pod co-op something, right?
Yeah. So just so everybody knows that's listening, all 12 of you guys, we are having a, no, I'm just playing.
Your wife is 13.
Yeah. Oh, lucky number 13. Yeah. So we're going to have the tailgate activity the night before. We're still working on all the details on that, but we're going to have
Bus the one catering or?
Ooh, that's a good, I like that. I'm going to reach out to Welby and see what we
can Jazz barbecue.
But, yeah. We're going to have all sorts of games, prizes, and I think we're going to try to make it family friendly. We'll see about that, but yeah. But we're going to have all sorts of games, prizes, activities. We're going to have mascots from a lot of the schools. I guess I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag on a few things here. We're going to have Swoop there. We're going to have Big Blue from Utah State there, whatever the hell the name of the Wolverine at UVU is. We're still working on Cosmo.
Is it Logan? Logan the Wolverine?
Cosmo's kind of a diva, isn't he? I've heard a lot of rumors about Cosmo.
Yeah, you know what? If any BYU admins are listening to this, now is the time to prove that you guys are not divas and you're easy to work with, because it was like pulling teeth getting anyone from BYU. I had UVU sliding into my DMs like the 13th grade. So, little brother's looking pretty good down there in the warm right now. But if any BYU fans or anyone has BYU connects, get Cosmo out.
Let's go Waldo, right? Isn't that the Wildcats? Waldo.
They're getting shown up by every single school in the state. Wow.
Yeah. I got the Dixie State Bison. I don't even know what his name is. But
it's a real bison.
Committed to, yeah, right? No, I wish. I have them committed to come up, and I can't even get BYU to return a phone call, man.
Oh,
and
I'm
an alumnus from BYU.
Hey, Hema. Hema, if you're listening to this, Hema, who decides to not want to be my coworker anymore, he has connections with BYU.
Oh,
so
that's right. We've got an in.
Hema, if you're listening, Hema's not going to listen to this, so it doesn't matter. So that's really cool. So I'm a really fun time. Logan, I know you live in Idaho.
Wait, did you say Emma? You say Emma doesn't listen anymore?
I'm sure he doesn't listen. Nobody listens.
I'm done with this. I'm done with this.
He's listened before.
Wrap it up.
I know he has.
It's 12:30 on a Thursday. What? Why are we doing this? Emma's not listening.
Logan, you live in Idaho. Can you bring anything from Boise down?
Doubtful. You guys don't like they don't like the Broncos.
They don't like the Broncos. You're right. You're right.
Go well.
Well, hopefully Logan.
If he shows up for the kids, I mean. Hey.
Logan, when you said something really great happened for you on Twitter, did Rachel Nichols retweet you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but it did give me hope that if you just keep trying hard enough, eventually, you know, good things will come your way.
Okay. So, I was like, oh my God, he said really great. That must mean Rachel Lum retweeted him. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I met the DJ on the Twitter.
Oh, so, that's right. The DJ. So, yeah, hopefully, right. Logan DJ. Maybe Aria, you know, like, come on down to Utah.
He's stumbling to find my daughter's name. He's trying to remember what it is. He's like, is it one of the seven that I'm dating two kids, or just
going through it? I do date a lot of them with two kids.
Who,
so.
Who needs to stop dating like five girls at the same
time? I'm also.
They got a cap on two kids. They have to have exactly two kids, or he won't date them.
Can I tell you a personal story as we end the podcast here? So my ex-girlfriend has two kids, and I coach her little daughter's softball team. And so I was having a heart-to-heart with them about some stuff, you know, just because, like, life. And, like, one girl was in this career, so I was just trying to, like, lift their spirits up. And I was like, hey, you know, I also don't want to force you guys to do anything. I'm not your dad. And Evie, my ex's little girl, goes, yeah, everybody thinks who's my dad. And I was like, I started laughing. Yeah, she's right. I'm not her dad. I'm not anybody's dad. And the little girls go, wait, you're not her dad? I was like, nope. Whose dad are you? I was like, nobody. I don't have any kids. Why are you here? And I was like, you know?
Yeah, I thought the judge was pretty clear about that.
I know. I was like, oh boy. Oh, like, wow. This. I was like,
Andrew,
there's a really.
Was a client?
There's a long, complicated history here, guys. And
I can't confirm nor deny that.
But these little girls are smart. They're mouthy, but they're smart. So. Logan, let's do some shout outs here. How do you feel about, you know, Andrew? Like, I mean, I know that you asked me to have Andrew on after the podcast last week, and lo and behold, I saw Jared and Andrew talk about it on Twitter. So I was like, you know, this actually worked out really well.
So let's shoot for the stars. Give me Kwame Brown. He seems to be hot right now.
let's go get Kwame.
Oh, dude, that'd be amazing. I love Kwame Brown.
Yeah,
you'd have your work cut out for your editing wise.
Yeah, that'll go on some sort of other feed, I guess. I don't know.
That was a rough 4 minutes and 21 seconds. I'll tell you that. But title of my sex tape.
Have you seen all of his videos? Like, they just keep coming.
Yeah, I saw another one the next day, which was a little bit cleaner, which isn't saying much, but you know, I'm all here for it. I love someone pushing back on some of those dudes, even if it's Kwame Brown. I mean, it is what it is. But no, I mean, just a couple quick shout outs. Do want to shout out SLC Mac. He's recently joined the Kobe parade, and I appreciate he, you know, gets me something new every day. He's been great. This other one is, what was it, Sunday afternoon? I don't know what day. My days are running here. There was a beautiful video that surfaced. And I go back and I watch it quite often. It's a gal there's some sort of confrontation taking place between a couple of, you know, lovely ladies. And the police officer's there, and the woman decides to, you know, drop trow and show her behind to the group. And she runs off, and then someone tases her, and the cop tases her. And it's one of the greatest clips I've ever seen in my life. I'll probably go back and watch it now, but as we were describing this and going on and on forever about what we were seeing in the video, Matthew Maybe, his handle is at Voltron183. He summed it up perfectly. He said, the kiss, the booty hole, the play-by-play call, and the face plant. It's really poetry and film. And it was just, that was the best, as if I thought the video couldn't get good enough. That particular clip was fantastic. But yeah, I mean, as always, you know, JazzPod Co-op. I think there's two of us going strong these days: the home court press and us. But Jedi and Germs is out this week too, though.
Jedi and Germs, Deuce and Dog. Dog and Deuce.
They're gonna get looped in because we're going to be like the coach that's not really anyone's parent. We're going to keep just standing around until they reluctantly claim us as their own. So,
we're recording a show with them this week. So
let's try to. Hopefully, let's see. Also, I do want to shout.
Hey, you agreed to sacrifice me, so right. You already did so on this pod. So,
Sarah Todd, I'm coming out with Unsalvageable. Really, really good insight. I mean, that probably means that we're probably not going to get Sarah Todd as a guest for a while, but. She's not part of the Jazz Pod Co-op. She's part of the Blue Wire, podcast network or whatever they call it there. But Unsalvageable with her and as the Dad Shamdad, I believe. So, Really cool that they're out there giving out their opinions and stuff, and a really good clean show. Hopefully our shows, I bought this podcast recorder because I wanted our shows to sound better. And so, you know, fingers crossed. J-Rod, Clarkson, so here's what happened, man. You went away from the Jazz streak tracker, and that's when Clarkson's sixth man of the year dream started to get dashed, I think.
What are you talking about? I mean, his dream was already.
I don't know. Like, I mean, he was still favored up until last week, and then you went to my boy Poku, and all of a sudden, like, oh boy, like everybody's voting for Joe Ingles now. Like, I mean, this you could be the reason. You could be the jinx.
Sure, that's fine. I'll accept it.
Clarkson's your boy, though. I thought you were gonna have a Clarkson corner for us.
I never promised you anything.
So nothing. You're just like Clarkson, whatever.
I mean, I just didn't have any material this week.
This is your like impassioned spot for JC here.
Well, the problem is I was kind of out of material because, I mean, the sixth man of the year race is happening and stuff like that, and votes are coming in, being tallied. I don't know. I felt like last week, which not enough people listened to, but, you know, it is what it is. Last week was like my swan song for the Clarkson corner, I think, because I don't think I can top that. Cannot top that.
Oh, all right. Andrew, again, thanks for coming on. You know, again, we record late night. Like, I'm you know, even with the new stuff, I'm at work right now, just getting ready to leave. But Andrew, thanks for, I mean, really, you seem like a positive influence on Twitter. Again, like, we talk about how Twitter can be just such a horrible place, but you kind of help. You know, you're sort of the godfather of the Utah Social Open. I mean, you not by yourself, but, you know, you're part of the group, right? Really, what do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, mostly by myself. You know, I just throw some credit to everybody out there hearing that.
No, I like that. I like that. Andrew, as a Jazz fan, I wish we had more time to talk to you about like your fandom and everything. But we'll have you on again. We'll do it again. Where do you see the Jazz ending this year?
Oh yeah. So let me just give you a little taste here. So, you guys remember the Knicks game where we were up 18 and we blew it and we fell to 4-4?
Logan and I did a very sad episode that week. Yeah, it was really nice. Okay.
So that game happens, right? We come back, I believe it was Friday night, and we're at home and we trounced Milwaukee. No, we just took it to them. So we're 5-4. So I'm laying in bed that night. May or may not have been under the influence of cannabis. We'll just say may or may not. But I had a vision that the Jazz were winning the title. And I told my wife, I was like, I'm not predicting the Jazz are winning the title. Like, the Jazz are winning the title this year. I drove to Mesquite the next morning, threw down cash. I have the ticket if you guys want to pick, put for the Jazz to win it all. And we went on a tear right after that, as you guys remember, where we were curb stomping people. The Jazz are winning it all this year. I am going to steal a cop car. I'm going to cruise, and we may flip it over and burn it. I don't know. No guarantees. Spencer Cox, if you're listening to this, of course you are. He's going to pardon me, so I'm not going to jail for it. But you guys, like, be ready. The parade's coming probably like mid-July. I don't know, maybe in early August. Jazz are winning it all this year, and I'm dead.
Oh, the parade is coming. And yeah, like, I'm you put your money where your mouth is, which is awesome. Like, you went down to Mesquite to, like, Mesquite's such a far drive. Look, Wendover's right there, man.
He lives in St. George.
Oh, well, geez.
Oh, yeah.
That's like
a 20-minute drive.
this is stuff that if we had more time, I would do a whole Andrew episode. So, great. So, Mesquite. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, you have the ticket. I'm post it for I don't know. I don't want to jinx it. And so, you do what you need to do to keep this good juju coming. Because, yeah, I mean, I've said it before. Like, if this is a Jazz team that you can't keep behind to like think they're gonna win the title, I have no idea what the Jazz can do to make you confident that they can win the title, because this is it. This is the team. So,
That stretch in February was as dominant basketball as I've ever seen
Quinn. It, what month?
It was like mid-January through like February.
I'm sorry. You're talking about Deathuary. Yes, yes. Deathuary is what we call it here. So.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing a team just. I mean, they were making NBA teams look just silly out there.
Yeah.
And they're gonna hit that stride again. We got 16 games. Rudy Gobert, fuck your predictions. We're taking the title.
Hopefully, let's. I'm hoping that we see. what I'm hoping is that because Mark was tweeting at us, we'll have to have Mark on again. Bojan, Mike, Donovan, if we can get them to play at their best, fluidly together, man, that Jazz team is going to be hard to stop. You know, I do have reservations about the defensive end, but you know, if you can't stop Bojan, Mike, and Donovan on the offensive end, you know, game over. So, game over, man. Logan, Jared, thank you as always for staying up late. Andrew, thank you for calling all the way from St. George. I'm learning new things every day. Can't wait from downtown Salt Lake. Wait for Utah Social Open in February. Can't wait for the Utah Social Barbecue. I don't know, the tailgate.
The tailgate.
Yeah. Did I say February?
Did you say February?
I don't know why I said February. I meant fall. I got Death Theory on my mind now. Like
September. What isn't your birthday around then?
Oh my God! The Jazz Co-op Hootran birthday extravaganza. Let's do it. Let's go golfing.
September 9th. Is that wow. Really close?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Good job.
Well, there's a fairly significant date 2 days after that. That's helps me remember.
Yeah, Heidi Huckle's birthday is September 11th. So, all right. Well, folks.
Ooh, that sucks.
Anyway, we've rambled on long enough. That's it. And we'll see you guys next time.
Still really upset about this Hammer news.